That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. Thanks for coming along with us on this Thursday afternoon. We have been reacting to the impeachment inquiry hearings from yesterday. We know that they are going to be questioning as a witness Yovanovitch, the ambassador, tomorrow. And we will be airing that tomorrow starting at, it's either 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. based on what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have that for you to make sure that you can listen in tomorrow as well. So stick around with us. Unfortunately, In the midst of planning for the show today, we are faced with yet another tragedy, another school shooting in California. Ryan, can you give us the lay of the land here on what we know so far?
It's in Santa Clarita, California, in Los Angeles County. It's about 40 minutes north of Los Angeles City. Saugus High School, there was an active shooter. That shooter has now been neutralized. And it was reported that he had been killed. That may not be the case, but he is in the hospital. And we were speculating that he might have been the one.
He might have shot himself.
He might have shot himself. And they were reporting one person who was in the hospital had died. That is not true. The one person in the hospital who has died was female. That's been reported now. So we know that there was at least one casualty and two critical male patients. One male is in, and one more who's in good condition. So we don't know which one of those is the shooter, but it looks like it's limited to about four people in the hospital right now.
It's ridiculous. And there is a police news conference coming up. Depending on when that happens, I think we'll be able to bring that to you. So I hate speculating. And, you know, in while we wait for the details of what took place, we could sit here and we could talk about all sorts of things. And I could bring up topics and you guys could call me and we could talk about why this policy would be better than this policy. There is no government policy that is going to stop this type of thing from happening again. We are a broken human race. Can I fix that? I can only fix what I do. I can only fix how I act, how I choose to care for people in my circle. And I know that I can always be better at it. But the idea of being kind to one another and the idea of being on a human-to-human level better than we all are on any given day, that is an individual-by-individual improvement that needs to be made. And I'm going to tell you, that will always be the case. I'm a Christian until Christ comes back. It's what I believe. That will always be the case. And we'll hear of these stories and we'll shake our heads and we'll wring our hands and we'll say, what can we do to make this never happen again? And I have to say, I think it is thoughts and prayers. And I know that that's what a lot of people are going to come out here. I haven't seen it yet, but I've almost purposely not been on Twitter because as I was scrolling through Twitter this morning, I saw Pete Buttigieg call out the NRA, blame the NRA. And I'm like, a campaign statement, even now, Mayor Pete, you got to be kidding me. Like, there is so much time to make this political. Can you take an inhale and an exhale before you do it? It is so impossibly disrespectful to the people who have not even contacted their family members who might have been involved in this to use this as a platform to gain another vote. That's what disgusts me. I am not here to talk about the policies, to defend the NRA, to condemn the NRA, to talk about gun owners, to condemn gun owners. We're not doing that today because today is not the day to do it. If you want to make a difference in the world, and if you want to stop this from happening in the capacity with which you, your individual self, can stop this from happening, go be kind to somebody today. Give that a shot. And I will start with myself and say, I need to be the first one to make that happen for somebody else and to try to be extra kind today. Are you going to make a difference? Are you going to stop something like this from happening? You may never know, but you might be able to make a difference in someone's life that causes them to make a difference in somebody else's life. There's no government solution to this problem. It's a human problem. And it becomes the heartbreaking tragedy to me when these things happen is when they become less tragic in our lives because we've become accustomed to it. And when you listen to the people react, which I assume we'll probably hear in the police news conference that's going to show up here soon, you hear about these things and you just never think it would happen to us. I sure as heck don't think it's going to happen to me. Mm. I'm not living in the world in my mind where that's happening to me. I don't want to know what that feels like. But I don't know what stands between it and me and my family. And I don't know how to stop it. So to suggest that one human individual has the entire solution to this broken humanity problem that we have, there's no human who has that. And I think identifying that as quickly as possible is pretty important. A lot of you people have an opinion on Judge Napolitano.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I have people who are grateful that we just had him on the show. I mean, if you are joining us now, in the first hour, we traditionally have maybe like three guests in a show is a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm. For 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. We've had three in the first three segments. Tyrus is supposed to be on with us now, and we're working on connecting with him. But Congressman Rodney Davis joined us in the first hour, which is a conversation we wanted to have about the impeachment process. But if you recall, when those Republican congressmen were on the practice field in, was it Arlington, Virginia, I think?
The softball game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was baseball. Isn't it baseball?
I don't know. Softball or baseball?
I think it's baseball.
Congressional.
They were practicing, and the guy from who's ended up being from like Belleville showed up, said, is this the Republicans practicing? Yep. And then he opened fire on him. That's where Steve Scalise was shot and why he is now living his life going forward with the effects of that. Rodney Davis was on that field. He was there when that happened. So we had him on at the beginning of the show. If you missed it, it's a very interesting perspective to hear him bring that up and talk about that. So grateful to have him on the show. 971talk.com/Annie, or you can subscribe to our podcasts if you missed that. We had Hans von Spakovsky on after that, who was reacting to the impeachment hearings yesterday. And then we had Judge Napolitano on. I think that if you heard Judge Napolitano and you didn't hear Hans, you should listen to Hans. If you heard Hans and you didn't hear Judge Napolitano, you should listen to Judge Napolitano.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Rodney Davis, you know what's interesting about him is that he constantly says, you know, the stuff you see on TV and in the media is the stuff where things aren't working right in Congress. And he talks about, well, behind the scenes, we actually do get a lot done.
Yeah, makes it sound so normal.
He makes it sound normal, but I know he's saying you're not seeing that stuff because it's not newsworthy, because it's not entertaining.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're following the news every day. I'm not seeing them work together on anything. I really don't know what he's talking about that behind the scenes. And then when you hear him say that he's not really even having the conversations with Democrats about impeachment, it makes you wonder what they really are. Where are they getting along that he's talking about so often?
Listen to Kevin McCarthy.
I had a Democrat come to me today to tell me he even questioned about whether he should stay a Democrat or he should re-register. He said, this is not the party that I know. And he said, these individuals, the direction that they're going is totally wrong.
Wow. I can't remember in the context of him saying that if he inferred that it was a Democrat in the House or if it was like
just random.
Just some guy.
His union Democrat dad or right. something like that. But I can hear Republicans saying they don't like the way the president did that or did things or whatever. Mm-hmm. I put this on Twitter last night. If you don't follow me at Annie Fry Show, go check it out. But I just said, congratulations from the appearance of Twitter. Looks like your team won today. Yep. Everybody is celebrating. Everybody,
right.
everybody heard what they needed to hear to know what they needed, what they already knew. So,
which is why I joked yesterday that it was just
slow clap for you.
It was interesting to listen to. I mean, we were all glued to our chairs the whole day listening to it yesterday. But it ended up being just status quo. It was pretty much the last 3 months played out more publicly. There was nothing really substantially new. I know that the left media is pointing to, well, there was this new phone call apparently that came out between Trump and somebody, was it Sondland, I think?
Yes.
At a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And all the reports are that this wasn't part of the testimony. This is a new thing. But I don't understand. It didn't say anything really new. And plus, whoever was listening to it, again, was listening secondhand and apparently was listening to both sides of a phone call somehow.
How does it happen?
How does that happen?
Yeah, is that a concern? Man. Right now we're streaming live on Facebook. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. I've got some calls here that I want to get to when we come back, so you can join us there. 314-241-9797. But I want to read a couple comments here from people who are chatting along with us on the show. And I read these, Ryan and Katie read these, and we engage with the conversation taking place here. So if you don't want to call in the show, you can get your opinion in here. Jack says, and this is regards, I think, to my comments about having Judge Napolitano on the show. And some people are like, why do you do that? And I'm like, because I'm not afraid of opinions that don't perfectly align with mine. And Judge Napolitano says things to me very often that make me go, oh, okay, I see where you're coming from. That doesn't mean I agree with it. And if it's facts, it's fact. I appreciate that from Judge Napolitano. I take it, I download it, I process it myself, and then I move on with my life. So I'm not intimidated by that. And I hope that that's what you get from that as well, having him on the show. But Jack says, I have no problem with healthy debate and dissent as long as it doesn't get into name-calling and unfriendly sarcasm. And this follow-up from Kevin, who has been along with our chat when we were doing YouTube, which we're still in YouTube jail, still working on that. And now that we stream live on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AndyFryShow, part of what he says there is, I agree, Jack. And maybe, quote, unfriendly sarcasm is something that I may be guilty of from time to time, but I really try to watch it as I'm not here to antagonize, in parentheses, troll, but rather to debate and maybe learn something new. And I have learned things from you guys, believe it or not. He does go on to say a little bit later, that's why I like Annie's show so much. So just understand that when we welcome people onto this show from noon to three, there are people listening to this show who disagree with 90% of what I do and say on a regular basis. But my number one goal is for anybody who's listening, if you agree with every single thing that I say, then you're my husband. No, just kidding. If you agree with every single thing that I say to you, I want you to understand why I believe it, and I want to show you my perspective. And then you take that and you program it into your life with your circumstances and your experiences. And if we arrive at the same conclusion, if we meet in the middle at the same point and we completely agree on that point, but we've arrived from very different places, I love that. That's my favorite thing in the world. Or alternatively, if you completely disagree with what I have to say, if you think that my opinion on something is entirely wrong, but you understand why I've arrived at my opinion, I'm very willing to understand why you've arrived at yours. And that is the opposite of what we are faced with on a regular basis. But that's what we try to do here. So stick around, 314-241-9797. Join us on the chat on our Facebook Live. I just saw a whole bunch of people join on since we've talked about this. So facebook.com/AndyFryShow. Join the conversation there. Give us a call. We'll take those phone calls when we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Because the one criticism of these two witnesses, which I think is very much legitimate, it's not really a criticism, it's just a factual statement, is that neither of them had direct contact with the president.
Ever.
So
ever.
That's Jeffrey Toobin, I believe on CNN, acknowledging the fact that no contact with the president from the witnesses yesterday is problematic for the Democrats. Interesting to see and hear that on CNN. It was good to see it. And I wanted to share that with you. I want to get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. If you'd like to weigh in on the show, like I said earlier, we've had a packed show so far. So I'm excited to be able to get to the listeners, get your reaction from yesterday, and maybe some thoughts on what you think is going to come up here next. Tomorrow, the hearings resume, and we will be carrying that live. The idea is it's going to start somewhere between 8 and 9.
Yes.
And we will, or maybe after 9, we will wait and see. But you will hear it here. So 97.1 FM Talk, and we will have live reaction as soon as they break, and it's hard to guess the schedule, and if they give you the schedule, it doesn't stick with the schedule, so it's kind of fun to dance around it. You have something to say?
Well, have you noticed the counterpoint talking points from the left about why? Well, it's all hearsay, yes, but that's because the president hasn't allowed anyone who's close to him to go talk to Congress. Well, duh. I mean, would you just be like, yeah, why don't you just go into the lion's den? And even if you're for me,
yeah,
why would you send somebody into that? And if anybody was that conscientiously objecting to something that had happened, they would do it anyway.
Sure.
They're not going to be, ah, well, the president said not to.
I think it's interesting, too, the reaction of some people who have been fired by the president and who are now trying to spill their guts and undermine the president's foreign policy initiative, which the president is the chief diplomat, as Hans von Spakovsky told us at 12:25. You can go to radio.com to get that replay if you'd like. That as the chief diplomat, he sets foreign policy. And in doing so, if you are in disagreement with that foreign policy, you do not get to sidestep that and try to affect some sort of different outcome because of your position as an ambassador.
Which is why we kept saying, you know, he's probably using Rudy Giuliani and some of these other sources that they're calling back channels, quote unquote, to go around these ambassadors who he doesn't trust, because half the people in the White House he doesn't know or trust because they're constantly leaking and writing anonymous books about him.
Yeah. Why would he be so distrustworthy? 314-241-9797. I'm going to get to some phone calls and the police news conference from the school shooting that took place in Santa Clarita, California, looks to be happening soon. So we will bring you to that when it starts. But before we do that, let's get to some phone calls here. Joe, thanks for calling the show.
Well, I'm going to change my topic very slightly. But the ambassador, in his giving his credentials yesterday to the committee, announced that he was an appointee by George Bush, and he served through the first Obama administration in his ambassadorship. Okay? Remember that Mr. Trump inspired the hatred of George and Jeb Bush. During the primaries, Trump said to Jeb that George was responsible for 9/11. It was on his watch that 9/11 occurred, correct?
Thank you for the phone call, Joe. I appreciate it. I need to break in here because it looks like we are going to have this conference, this police conference, starting soon. Are we ready to take that now? All right, let's listen in. This is from the Santa Clarita, California school shooting taking place today. Let's get the update
from Santa Clarita, specifically Saugus High School. Without further ado, Sheriff Alex Villanueva and Sheriff's Homicide Captain Kent Wegener, Wegener.
I regret to inform it's a sad day in Saugus, it's a sad day in Los Angeles County and the nation for another tragic shooting at a school. At 7:38 this morning, Santa Clarita Sheriff's Station received a 911 call of a shooting at Saugus High School. Within seconds, we received multiple calls, and within 2 minutes, at 7:40, our first units arrived on scene and encountered in the quad area of the school multiple victims, gunshot wounds. There were a total of 6 victims who were promptly triaged and transported to the local hospitals for treatment. Among those who were transported turned out to be the suspect, who is currently in the hospital in grave condition, and he's a male Asian, 16 years of age, and a student of the school. The other 5 students, I'll have Captain Wegener provide their demographics. The school was locked down. They did partial evacuation. We also sheltered in place a portion of the school until we established who was responsible for this tragic shooting. The surrounding schools in the area were also placed on lockdown as a precaution. We identified who the shooter was through firsthand witnesses, video surveillance. We confirmed it. We then executed a search warrant at the residence of the suspect, and now we're going through the very lengthy process of conducting a thorough investigation to figure out what happened and why. At the same time, we're busy now doing the reunification with the students with their parents. And all of the affected students have been notified. Their families have been notified, and they're with them currently. So now I'm going to turn this over to Captain Wegner.
Thank you, Sheriff. My name is Captain Kent Wegener, W-E-G-E-N-E-R. I'm the captain of Sheriff's Homicide Bureau. This morning at 7:38, Santa Clarita Station received a call of a 245 just occurred, an assault with a deadly weapon, a shooting that had just occurred at 21900 Centurion Way in Santa Clarita at Saugus High School. Upon arrival within 2 minutes, Santa Clarita deputies recognized that it was an active shooter situation and conducted a rapid deployment onto the school premises. When they reached the quad area, they discovered six persons who were suffering gunshot wounds. These were all students of the high school. All the students were triaged and transported to a local hospital. The suspect was later identified as one of the victims who was found in the quad. He is identified as a 16-year-old male whose birthday is today. The weapon that he used was recovered at the scene. It's a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol, which had no more rounds in it, had no more bullets in it. He is a resident in the 22900 block of Sycamore Creek Drive in Santa Clarita. That location was contained by sheriff's deputies, and a cursory search was done to identify any other potential victims which may be at the location. There were none there. It is now being contained. A search warrant is being written, and it will be conducted to process that scene for evidence. We are in the process of interviewing students who were witnesses to this incident. Some of those students are being taken are still at the high school in a multi-purpose room, and other students are at Great Grace Baptist Church, where they will be interviewed by sheriff's homicide detectives. Additionally, we have scenes at the quad at the school to process the crime scene there. A team at the suspect's house, a team at two different local hospitals. And we have another team that's working with our tech crew to process any video which we may be able to get from the surveillance system at the high school. The FBI is here, and they are collaborating with us to preserve and capture any cell phone video which the students may have captured of this incident at the time that it happened. The suspect's girlfriend and his mother are at Santa Clarita Station with detectives currently. Detectives have reviewed the video at the scene, which clearly show the subject in the quad withdraw a handgun from his backpack, shoot and wound five people, and then shoot himself in the head. There are no other subjects who are outstanding as part of this incident or who took part in this assault. The victims who are hospitalized, and I regret to say that at 9:23 this morning, one of the female victims, age 16, passed away. Her parents are at the hospital. There's another female victim, age 14, another female victim, age 15, and two male victims, each 14 years of age. Again, this is preliminary information. I know there are rumors out there about social media posts and different videos that may have been posted from the scene. We will be looking into that. At this point, I don't have any information about that. I can tell you that we have checked for recent threats involving Saugus High School. We identified two, which were both investigated and had no nexus to this subject. At this point, thank you.
Next, I'd like to introduce Los Angeles County Fire Department Chief Darrell Osby.
Thank you. Hello, Darrell Osby, Fire Chief of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. And as mentioned today, the Saugus incident, this is a pretty sobering incident for those involved, including first responders. On behalf of the Los Angeles County Fire Department, our sympathies and prayers and positive spirits go out to everyone that was affected. As mentioned previously, along with the Sheriff's Department, the Los Angeles County Fire Department got a call at 7:38 this morning for a shooting at Saugus High School. Our resources arrived unseen, with the sheriff's already unseen. We trained routinely with the Sheriff's Department for these types of incidents. Our personnel went in with force protection, which means protection from the sheriffs to go in and assess the scene. At the height of the incident, the Los Angeles County Fire Department had 10 fire engines, 7 paramedic squads, 24 ambulances, 1 helicopter, and appropriate overhead on scene. Our objectives during these types of incidents is life safety intervention, triage, treatment, and transportation to the hospital. As mentioned earlier, there were a total of 6 victims that were inflicted by gunshots. They were considered critical on scene. The most critical, unfortunately, had one was a headshot to the head, and the other was in cardiac full arrest. 4 victims were transported to Henry Mayo Hospital. 2 other critical were transported to Holy Cross Hospital. And then we had a non-critical that was transported to all of you for a total of 7 incidents. As we conclude this incident, from the fire department's perspective, working with the sheriffs and investigators, also there were several members of my department, and this is a very close-knit community, that had kids that were also at the school. And some of those members have already been relieved to get the proper peer support and mental support on behalf of the department and on behalf of the County of Los Angeles. So our department will continue to support our personnel with appropriate mental, spiritual, and behavioral support, along with their families, and we will keep everyone else involved in our deepest thoughts.
Thank you. Now from the Los Angeles Field Office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Assistant Director in Charge Paul Delacorte.
Good morning, I'm Paul Delacorte, the Assistant Director in Charge of the FBI's Los Angeles Field Office. We are once again here in front of you, another somber and sobering press statement where we're talking about something that no parents should ever have to go through, no high school student should ever have to worry about, and yet we're here to talk about it again. The FBI rolled crisis response resources. We are here in support of the LA County Sheriff's Department. At this time, we are collaborating on victim and witness interviews and digital media exploitation. We have begun a social media scrub. We have our evidence response team and our victim witness services teams on standby, ready to assist. We have resources available from Cyber Division and our laboratory division, if necessary, to assist the LA County Sheriff's Department in this investigation. I can report to you that at this time we have no known additional threats. We have no threats to this or any other school, or no threats to this or any other area. We're here at this point is a police cooperation matter. We will run all the leads to ground, but at this point we have no indication of any motivation or ideology. It's early on in this investigation. I'm pleased with the collaboration with our partners, proud of our response and our collaboration with our partners. But once again, it's sad that we have had to bring those resources to bear in another situation like this. Thank you.
Next, Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger.
I first want to thank LA County Sheriff's Department, who responded within 2 minutes of the call that came in regarding this horrific act. We have Department of Mental Health has support teams on site right now working with the students as well as the family members. As you can imagine, the impact this is going to have not only on the school but on this community is tremendous. And the Department of Mental Health stands ready to support the community in an entirety. I want to thank some members. Christy Smith for being here. We've got the state, federal, and local officials all here working together. Many people are asking why. That will come with time, but right now our focus is on supporting the community. And you heard Chief Osby say that many of the sheriffs and fire officials that work here live here. and either have children that attend the school or attend the school. So this has hit very, very, very close to home. My heart aches, but I stand ready to support this community and lead and make sure that we provide the resources necessary to help. Thank you.
Breaking news. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. That's all I want
to hear. Yeah. What a sultry voice.
Thank you.
No.
Yeah, you, Ryan.
You're confused, Ryan. Let me make this more clear.
I don't get confused.
George Michael. You ever start typing something on your computer and you accidentally, like you had caps lock on before?
And so you're yelling,
and you're
whatever
like,
it is?
Yeah, and it's like the most mundane request ever that you're, like if you're sending an email or something and then you read it back. Like, I can't not read that back in my head like I'm shouting it.
Same.
And it makes me real. I don't know why that's funny to me.
There's free popcorn in the break room!
Yeah, like, why are we raging about it? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm arguing with myself. I'm like, the caps lock were on. I didn't know that was going to happen.
I didn't expect it.
It's stupid.
I love it.
I can't help it. Oh, Lord.
No, you can help it, actually.
Shut up, man.
Sorry.
This is a hard day.
It's been tough.
These days are difficult because we just aired the press conference. It's still taking place, but I do believe at some point a lot of what is being said is repeated. Ryan, I don't know if you can bullet point what we know so far. If you're just joining us, if you haven't been in tune with the news today, there has been a school shooting at a Santa Clarita, California high school, Saugus High School. Ryan, just 30,000-foot view details.
Quick press conference we just heard. Actually, the second guy contradicted the first guy, so I'll go with what the first guy said, that a 16-year-old student walked into the school. He had a handgun. He pulled it out and shot five people, three of them female, two male, then self-inflicted gun wound to the head. One of the females has been pronounced dead now at the local hospital. The shooter himself has not, which is interesting. So that's the bullet point version. Although the second guy said that there were seven victims. First guy said six. So
I think it's six plus one. I think the shooter is seven.
Okay.
And I think that when this type of stuff happens, I think the semantics behind it become very sensitive. And I understand why. This shooter is not a victim. But he might be somebody who's in the hospital. That's why a lot of times there'll be like six dead plus shooter deceased.
Well, that's why
or something.
I said five victims. Mm-hmm. But the second guy said seven people total. If there were five victims plus the shooter, that's six. So I don't know. He was saying total of seven. I don't know. We'll see.
But it's hard to go. So you want to talk about impeachment. You want to get reaction from yesterday. We're going to cover it tomorrow starting at 8 or 9 a.m. whenever the hearing begins. And we'll carry it through Kilmeade into our show. We will kind of make a game time decision based on what's taking place there. So if you are interested in this topic, we will have it for you on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah, from now through the end of 2024.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. No joke.
So tune in tomorrow.
But you have something very important like that happening in Capitol Hill. And the moment something like this school shooting happens, doesn't this Capitol Hill stuff just seem incredibly trivial?
Yes, it seems so small, especially when you're talking about the death of a young girl in her teens.
They're listing off these children, these victims. They're 14 years old.
14, 15, and I think 16. And it's just devastating to think that someone in that age had to barricade a door from an active shooter and then get behind a desk and pray that nothing happened to them. And everything else in the world seems so small,
Ryan,
when you compare that.
Your wife is a teacher. My husband's a teacher. Has a thought crossed your mind?
Not really, oddly. And you guys are saying that this minimizes the impeachment stuff. I almost go the opposite way.
Really?
Yeah, where when I hear about this, in terms of a larger cultural societal problem, yes, I agree with you. In terms of the day's news, it's in California and it doesn't really affect us. I'm being very cold in reporting that, but that's the way I feel. Is the stuff in Washington, D.C., that affects us. This one incident does not.
See, the reason why I disagree with that is because, and I mentioned this, I don't know if it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, where I just kind of, it just kind of smacked me in the face when I was thinking about this, but like the contemplation of actual evil existing. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, I should absolutely, there should be a full-blown understanding and confidence that evil exists. And I do believe that, but I don't want to. It doesn't come naturally to think that an actual evil is living among us. And to accept the fact that evil does exist is kind of a burdensome thing. Because if evil exists, what is it capable of? And then your mind, I'll tell you, as a mother, I can't handle it.
I mean, when you take it to that level, absolutely. I mean, that's the level that I do think about these things. But the solution, when you get to that point, is so large that it's intimidating to even think, oh, well, here's the solution. It's this broad-based, like, where's God thing.
And I would say, too, that the compulsion that we as a human race have to quickly try to solve this makes us look to people who have no business authority or access to solve something like this. Your government is not going to solve this for you. It's really going to be with us as humans to solve an issue like this.
Which is why it's tough to discuss a solution.
So when we come back, I'm going to have Erica Murphy join us. She is a salesperson here at Entercom. She has started a new episode on our podcast with me that's uploaded every Saturday. Can't wait to talk to you about it. She's also doing the Slim 180 diet with me, and I can't wait to talk to you about that. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute.